Let's take our Bibles and open up to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 6.
As you find your place there, I'd ask that you stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read just a couple of verses from this chapter. Romans chapter 6, we'll begin reading with verse number 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We ask now that as we spend just a few moments in it, that your Holy Spirit would help us, grant us understanding and application as well. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Several decades ago, there were some missionaries that went to South America. I'm sure you're familiar with one of them. His name was Jim Elliot. And he, shortly before he was killed by the very ones that God had sent him to reach with the gospel, made this statement. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. This statement only has meaning because of the resurrection of Christ. If there is no hope beyond the grave, then this statement that Jim Elliot made has absolutely no meaning whatsoever. It is a foolish and unwise statement, an unwise philosophy by which to live. And yet we know that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. And we know in rising from the dead that he then made life possible for all. And as we sit here this morning in church to worship our risen Savior, certainly we would not worship a dead Savior, would we? We worship Him because He is living today, because He is in heaven right now, seated at the right throne of the Father. And then as He's seated there, He's interceding or praying for us on our behalf. What a wonderful thing that God, in His great love toward us, would do. But I want to look back to that resurrection morning and just consider just a couple simple thoughts. And I just title this Resurrection Victory, because there's a great victory that morning as the women came to the tomb, as we had read for us a little earlier in the service this morning. And they came and they were kind of concerned as they approached the tomb, because they wanted to do something for their Savior, the one that they loved so dearly. And so they thought, well, we can now, I hate to have to say this. Who put him in the tomb? A couple of guys. And the women probably got together and said, you know, ladies, these fellas did it. You know how guys do things. Let's go do it right. That's what happened, if you read the Word of God. So anyway, as they're going to the tomb to do it right, they were more concerned with the action than the details. And as they're nearing the tomb, it dawns on one of them, oh no, there's this stone that's been rolled in place to seal the tomb. And between the group of us ladies, we don't have the strength to push that stone out of the way to get in and to properly prepare that body for death. And they're wondering, what are they going to do? But you know what the cool thing is? It didn't stop them, did it? They continued to the tomb, and as they got there, they found that God had already rolled that stone away for them. And as they entered to prepare the body, they found it missing. There's great victory there in what God did that day. I only have 2 points. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be a 2-minute sermon, but I don't plan to be long. I fear we had a lot of extra special music today, and so I knew I wouldn't have as much time as normal, but the first victory I'd like to look at is obvious, the victory over death. And we read about that here in Romans chapter 6, verse number 9. As the ladies went in and saw the empty tomb, the tomb was not open to let him out. The tomb was open in order that they may come in and find that he was no longer there, that he had conquered death. And as verse number 9 says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. And I like this last statement, death hath no more dominion over him. Death has no power over Jesus Christ. When he was raised from the dead, he was raised in the same body that he went into the tomb with, the same body that hung on the cross. Because when he appeared to the disciples in the upper room, he told them to see the prints in his hand and see the hole in his side from the spear of the soldier as they plunged it in as he hung there to verify that he was indeed dead. He had a body, not like our body. Our bodies are flesh and bone, but he described his body as flesh and blood, but flesh nevertheless. But he has a body that will no more die. He's still in that same body today, and we're nearly 2,000 years beyond that point in time. And that body has just as much vigor as it had back then. I imagine, fellas, that he probably still has as much hair as he had back then. But we have some pictures of my family hanging in the house of when we were younger, and I look at it and say, man, I had a lot of hair back then. I'm just glad I still have some now. But Jesus isn't aging. That's the cool thing about that body he's in now that he rose from the dead. Death no more hath dominion over him. Now, why does our eyesight start to fail? And why does our hair fall out? Why does our skin wrinkle up? And why is it harder to get out of the bed in the morning? Why do steps all of a sudden become taller and the ground so much further away than it used to be? It's because we're dying. Because death has dominion over you and over me. It has power and authority that it's exercising on us, and we can't stop it no matter how hard we try, no matter how badly we want to reverse its effects. It is inevitable. But Jesus isn't that way. He has gotten the victory over death. And so he's free from the fear that death can bring upon a man. And when we take Christ as a Savior, though we cannot reverse the effects of physical death, we know that we will never die spiritually. We know that after we leave this world and what man considers death, that everyone remains alive and conscious after a fashion. Those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, that believe that He died on the cross for their sins and have taken Him as their personal Savior, we know that we'll walk on that street of gold and that we'll bow before the very throne of God on which our Savior is seated and worship Him for all eternity. And at that point in time when we leave this world, that then death will no more have dominion over us either. That's what this passage of Scripture is telling us. And so we know that this world is not all there is. In fact, we know that this world is not even our home. As the songwriter put it, we're just a passing through. God has our stay here for a different duration. One thing that kind of took me aback when Brother Prasi Kakel, the Filipino that was with us last week, was in our home, he said a Filipino average age is only in their early 60s. He said that because that's where I'm at. He said, you lived as long as the average Filipino. It's different for each of us. Some don't make it very long in life before God calls them to their eternal destiny. Now, if we, as I said, have, taken Christ as our Savior, we have no fear, nothing to worry about, because we know that when we close our eyes here, we'll open them in glory, beholding the face of our Savior, absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But we also are aware of the fact that there's a lot of people in this world that have never taken Christ as their Savior? What does it mean for them when they die to this world? When this physical body finally gives in to the death that has dominion over it? Do they cease to exist? Are they given a free pass to heaven? Are they given a second chance as they stand before God to accept Him as their Savior? No, not at all. The Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You see, we've got to make that decision here and now. The Bible is very vivid in the book of Luke about an individual who wound up in hell, fully conscious, fully able to feel the pain, obviously dwelling in some type of body and suffering. And from what the Word of God tells us, that man is still suffering today in those same flames that never are extinguished, that are never let up, nor is anyone let out. Conscious existence, that's spiritual death. The Bible calls it the second death in the book of Revelation. You see, we need never fear that. If we're saved, we never need fear death. Death is a graduation. It's being called up to be with our Father, being a homegoing for the saved. For the lost, it's a tragedy. Because no more opportunity, no more opportunity to miss the flames. Some may wonder, why did God create these flames in the first place? If He's not willing that any should perish, as it tells us in the Bible, why did He make it in the first place? Well, He answers that question for us in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 24. He says, prepared for the devil and his angels. He doesn't mean for man to go there, but because man decides to follow the devil, he winds up in eternity with the devil. But it need not be that way. When Jesus died on the cross and He paid the penalty, and then when He rose from the grave, He got the victory over death once and for all. The second victory we find on the cross is victory over sin. Isn't sin a terrible thing? We all have the sin that does so easily beset us, or perhaps we have sins that we enjoy and agree with God that will pay the consequences. The only problem with that, though, is we can choose the sin, but we can't choose the consequences. But you know, we should live with the victory over those sins. That's God's intent. Look back to verse number 4 here in Romans chapter 6. He tells us this. He's talking about baptism here, and it's water baptism, immersion. The illustration is that given there in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Buried. Put beneath. Just like we lower the body 6 feet under that perishes. Buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we are scripturally baptized, it's an illustration or a symbol of what Jesus did on our behalf. The fact that He died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And the point He's trying to make here in this verse is that when Jesus rose again, He was much different than beforehand. Now, the only difference is the body in which He dwelt, because He was God before He died and He was God after He died. But the difference is that He now had a body that had won the victory over death. And He's using that to illustrate how there should be a change in our lives after we take Christ as our Savior. No longer must we live in sin. You see, before salvation, we're slaves to sin. We have no choice in the matter. We think we're free, but we're not. We're the slave of the devil. Now that doesn't sound very nice, but that's the truth, what the Word of God tells us. We do His will and we do His whim. But Jesus gave us the victory. Only those in Christ have the liberty to choose to do right. to choose to worship and to please our Savior. And so we experience this victory over sin in our lives and we walk in a new way. There's a song, now I never sang it, I'll be honest with you. When I was in Bible college, every night in the dormitory we'd have devotions and they would sing it there, and I never sang back then because I was such a terrible singer. I think I've shared before when I was in college choir, they never let me sing. The instructor would always come, he always put me in the front row between the two loudest singers. And after about three words, he'd come up to me and he'd put his finger to his mouth and his hand to his ear and say, shh, just listen. I never had to sing in college choir. But I never sang the song, but it was, I don't do the things I used to do. I don't say the things I used to say. I don't go to the places I used to go. That's the way it ought to be with those who have experienced the victory over death. There should also be, that goes with it, the victory over sin. Jesus paid the penalty. Look at verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so God is telling us that if we're saved, if we're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we should do everything in our power to live above the sin that the devil tempts us to commit in our lives. In other words, we should be different. We should be the light in the world, pointing men to the Savior Jesus Christ, who is the life. You see, when we consider the resurrection, the victory that was won there was victory over death and victory over sin. Where do you find yourself this morning? Do you know 100% for sure that you'll be in heaven when you leave this earth? Do you know 100% for sure? The Bible makes it very clear that those that are going to be in heaven do know 100% for sure. The stakes are too high to die without settling that. And since we don't have any guarantee of even this afternoon, let me encourage you. Please allow us to take the Word of God and explain it so that you fully understand it, that you might settle that matter today while you have an opportunity. Because heaven is real, and so is hell. A heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We're going to sing a song, have an invitation a moment. If you're here this morning, you're not 100% for sure, and you'd like to be, please, please come. Just step out of your seat, come to the front, get my attention. We'll have someone show you out of God's Word how you can know. If you know that God is your Savior, have you been living this newness of life that God has made possible for you? Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you for telling us of the gospel, the fact that you died for our sin, were buried, and you rose again the third day, all according to the Scriptures, and that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I pray just now, if there be even one this morning that's with us, uncertain if heaven's their home, Father, give them the courage to step out of the seat and allow us to show them how they can know for sure. And Father, for those of us that are saved, I just ask that you would challenge our hearts to apply the victory over the sin in our lives that was purchased on that same cross and in that resurrection from the dead. Well, thank you for what you'll do now in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.